advice of the Department of Public Service and Administration and in consultation with the Minister, appoint a suitably qualified person to act as Council Secretary, who must be accountable to the Chairperson and the Council to perform the following functions. A. Manage any administrative matters of the Council and any committee appointed in terms of Section 13(1) or established in terms of Section 13(2), including 1. Managing the correspondence of the Council. 2. Providing administrative support to the Council in the preparation of all reports and other documentation of the Council. 3. Preparing the agenda and all documents for the Council meetings. 4. Taking minutes and keeping records of all decisions of the Council. 5. Facilitating and preparing relevant advice. Presently we have there on the research, but we can take the research out, Chair, and make it maybe wider. Say, facilitating and providing relevant advice required by the Council. 6. Assisting the Council in the development of its annual plan. 7. Facilitating the submission of reports and other documents of the authority to Council. And Chair, maybe we can also include the development of rules and ensuring compliance with legislation just after the 7, or we can find a more important place in the present wording. Then 8, facilitating communication between the Council and the Authority, Council and the Minister, and Council and Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. George, are you happy that the Secretary is now busy?
No, I'm happy, Madam, but there was the thing was raised by my neighbour here. You see, there are areas, it is very good for me. I think I'm happy for them to start there. But it is very good that the sequence also goes in terms of importance. They are very important parts, like the one of where the research files. It is good if research is up there and facilitation of reports and talking to the authority comes. I'm just saying, if in terms of they follow in terms of their importance, the rearrangement, not necessarily changing anything, but the rearrangement, it would be very good. But if they can't do it, I don't think we can say no, we will not support because they can't rearrange.
Okay, members, let's split the issues. The one is the rearrangement. The second one is, and that's what I want you to focus on now, is there anything that you believe that should be in here that is not in here? The technical team is already saying that developing the rules for the functioning of the Council and making sure that adherence to the Act takes place, something like that, I'm just my own wording. 7. After 7. Can I just hear you on that? And they're also suggesting that we remove the on research and 5.
I just want us to caution us that we don't end up giving these people the work of the executive director. So because that's going to be very important. I think some of the things they're mentioning now are the responsibility of the executive director.
But the executive director cannot develop rules for Council.
No, I'm talking about the other one. He said develop rules and what they were there.
Adherence to the Act.
Yes, adherence to the Act is the responsibility of the executive director.
The Council must also adhere to the Act. Council must also adhere to that. Remember, the Council is the counting officer. Hang on, Honourable Kulabana, and then Honourable Lord.
Thank you. My suggestion would be in that there's inevitably some job that's going to appear that is not listed here. It's a closed list. My suggestion would be just putting a catch-all at the end or any other... any other
legitimate task
assigned to this person? Because if we leave it at a dead end, they'll turn around and say, I don't have to do that.
Can we include that one on a woman's logo? You raise your hand. I'll try and unconfuse you. If you raise your hand, you wanted to say something, and that's the only thing.
I wanted to ask you that you
George, please. It's the end of the year, I know you're excited, but really. Honourable Lord.
Chairperson, do you want to add this on 7 or you want to stand alone? That's a question that I wanted to raise when Honourable Member Colobaran spoke. Now it ran back to my mind what I wanted to ask. I wanted to ask you, when Jacob spoke about the thing that is not written here, I thought maybe he's developing another line or another sentence somewhere. But now you said it must be added on. I just wanted to know that.
After 7. It will become a new 8.
The new...
They must work on the wording, but develop rules for the functioning of council and ensure adherence to the Act. And then I'm missing another one. We're taking on board Honourable Quilla Barman's suggestion as well about the catch-all phrase, legitimate instruction by council. We must be clear who can instruct as well, by council. And then I think the one that is also missing is the one that the Honourable Sobeyani raised before he... broke for lunch was the one on be the link between council and the authority, the liaison between council and the authority. Where's that? Oh, okay. Communication and liaison. Between council and there's a definite difference. Communication is simply communicating, and it's a one-way process as well. Liaison is a two-way process. Honourable Kulaban.
I'm presuming the calling of meetings and stuff would fall under administrative matters. This suitably qualified. Is there no determination of the qualifications necessary for a council secretary or the equivalent somewhere? It's too vague. I mean, someone might decide a matric is suitably qualified. Someone might say you need 10 years' experience and a degree. I don't know. I don't think it's good enough.
I think that's why it's referring to the Department of Public Service and Administration to determine exactly what type of person it is. Will be criteria around that, I've got no doubt about it. But we can look at the possibility. I don't think we must go into much detail. Department of Public Service and Administration and in consultation with the Minister. That will determine the level, it will also determine the type of the qualifications that is required. So it's not Council who's going to say we're going to appoint Mr. Lawwood's second or third nephew because we like Mr. Ndlovu. It's going to be because there are certain criteria. Yes. Exactly. Okay, but we take on the other three changes that we suggested. You've got all three of them. Okay, let's move on, please.
Thank you, Chair. Then page 81, the bottom section 44. In this section, Amendment Act means the Private Security Industry Regulation Amendment Act of 2013. In 2A, any category or class of security service providers which was not obliged to be registered as such in terms of this Act immediately before the commencement of the Amendment Act will not be subject to the provisions of this Act or the Levies Act until such date as the Minister may determine by notice in the Gazette. The Chair, we have inserted a new B. From the date of commencement of the Amendment Act, all new applications for registration must be made in accordance with the requirements of the Amendment Act. And Chair, we will again look at the sequence here. Maybe C must just come before B, because it refers to paragraph 8. But paragraph C reads now, a notice contemplated in paragraph 8 may specify different dates in respect of different categories of classes of security service providers and must be published at least 180 days. Before any such date specified there. Chair, when we look again at the issue of renewal of registration, there is exactly the same provision in the Act presently, so we don't need a transitional provision in that regard. In sub 3, the Minister of Police must, within a period of 2 years from the commencement of the Amendment Act, make regulations that must be made under this Act as amended by the Amendment Act.
But I hear you on the first 3. Are we satisfied with the changes? I think it's a bit more clear. Are we satisfied, members? Abby, continue. I don't think it bothers that C is where it is. It actually makes sense that it is where it is. But continue.
For the chairperson and councillors who have been appointed before the commencement of the Amendment Act shall remain in these positions until their services have been terminated in terms of the provisions of this Act, provided that such chairperson and councillors must obtain a security clearance to the level required by the Minister of Police, if not yet acquired before the commencement of the Amendment Act.
Can I hear you on 4? Satisfied? Agreement. Continue, please.
Subsection 5. Should the Minister reappoint any councillor who is serving at the time when the Amendment Act commences, the total period of the contract of such a councillor may, when the original appointment is taken into account, not exceed 7 years, and such councillor must contribute to the requirement of Section 6.3 of the Act.
Members satisfied? Agreement continues.
Subsection 6, subject to subsection 4, from the commencement of the Amendment Act, all members of the council may only serve on a part-time basis. 7. The secretary for the council must be appointed within 6 months of the commencement of the Amendment Act, and until the appointment of such secretary, the director must ensure that the necessary secretarial services are provided to the council.
Members, can I hear you on those two? 67. Agreement?
From the date of commencement of the Amendment Act, the post of the director and the deputy directors must be filled in accordance with Section 14 and taking into account Section 14A of the Act, but the current incumbents of the respective posts will continue to hold office until the respective posts are filled in terms of Section 14.
Satisfied with that? Continue.
The Exemption Advisory Committee, as contemplated in Section 28, must be appointed by the Minister before the commencement of the Amendment Act. Sub 10. An appeal committee as contemplated in Section 32A of the Act must be appointed before the commencement of the Amendment Act. We have shifted that up with subsection 9.
Just a question, shouldn't the appeal and committee also be in CAPS? If we've got exemption advisory committee in CAPS.
We'll just check elsewhere in the Act, I would suggest.
Are we satisfied with that, members? Agreed? Continue.
11. A regulation that prohibits the use of any uniforms, insignia, emblem, title, symbol, distinctive badge or button used by the security service providers, which was not in contravention of the Act, must provide for a reasonable period, which period may not be less than 18 months from the promulgation of such regulation, for the phasing out of the use of a particular uniform, insignia, emblem, title, symbol, distinctive badges or buttons. Chair, we have looked at the issue of the Metro Police. There's actually, in terms of local authorities provisions, there's normally provisions relating to the use of the Metro Police. But and we can also not really put a phasing out thing for a contravention of the Act. But we think that 11 as it is now really addresses the problem, because there will be regulations that say specifically which uniform pieces, etc., may not be used. And that regulation will then link on to this provision, Chair.
It's addressing the concern that we had previously. It's much more clear, it's much more distinct in terms of this is succinct in terms of this is what we want here. So are we satisfied, members? Agreement, continue.
Sub 12, Chair, the fixed establishment of the authority referred to in Section 14.1b must be determined within 24 months of the commencement of the Amendment Act, and any delay in the process must be reported by the Minister to Parliament.
Satisfied with that, members? Continue.
Sub 13. The authority, through the council, must submit quarterly progress reports to the minister, on its readiness and progress made in respect of the implementation of the Levies Act and the renewal of registration.
Melis, can I hear you on this one? Satisfied? Continue.
14, the Minister must report on a quarterly basis to Parliament on the progress made in the implementation of the Amendment Act.
Satisfied? It seems like we're satisfied. Okay, that, members, unless there's anybody that still wants to raise an issue, this brings us to the end of this bill. Is there anybody who still wants to raise an issue, who still have a question? Mr. Tabayani?
Chairman, I think on page 28, when they are doing rearrangement, it must also talk to, you will see that saying 3A and there's no B. You cannot have A where there's no B. And then I'm sure on 8, where they've got Roman figures, there's 3, 1, 2, 3. It cannot be Roman figure. It should find alternative way to differentiate the same value.
Yeah, so technical changes that needs to apply there. Also, what is quite obvious is as we talk about managing, then we start managing and providing. So if we can just look at that as well, the cleaning up of the language there, that it's consistent. Anything else, members? Then let me just explain the process going forward. Tuesday morning we will meet. Honourable McLaughlin?
I thought you were going to talk about the long title.
Want to speak about the long title?
Chair, we are now going, we've already started drafting it in a bill form. In the bill form, you will see what is amended here is actually the long title of the Act itself. And it must be in the form of an amendment. So in that draft amendment, we will also address that issue and check again against the contents that the long title reflects the okay contents of the bill itself, Chair.
So what they need to do in order for them to draft the long title properly, we have to finish today so that they can include the aspects that we addressed today, like for instance the establishment of the secretary that wasn't there before in the long title of the bill. So they will do that, and I will ask that you email that to the secretary of the committee before Tuesday's meeting, preferably way before Tuesday's meeting, so that members can get that to have a look at it. Then on Tuesday, Mr. George.
What is going to determine the level of the secretary?
Public service and administration. Public service and administration, together with the minister. Public service and administration. If you look at that section, it says that council must, after obtaining the advice of the Department of Public Service and Administration and in consultation with the minister. That first sentence. So it's not the council who's going to determine it. Public Service and Administration, minister will sign off on that level. Not sign off, but... Yeah. Members, then, if I can go back to explaining the process now. On Tuesday, we want the bill that we can vote on clause by clause, please. Clean up bill, all the changes, everything. So, please, members, you have caucuses tomorrow. Deal with it in your caucuses. If you need to deal with it, we're voting on Tuesday. If everything is correct, we can also adopt on Tuesday. So, that is that part of the process. But we also have a meeting scheduled for Wednesday. Next week, and we're going to continue with that meeting. At this stage, there has been one minor amendment in the NCOP on the DNA bill that we must consider. I'm just waiting for the table staff to and the speaker's office to refer it officially to. It hasn't been referred officially yet. Can you follow up on that, please, Baba? To refer it to us so that we can finalise that change as well. And then we will deal with that on Wednesday. It's a meeting that should take us no longer than half an hour at the most. So hour at maximum, but that is pushing it then. So if the department, in terms of the DNA, can also prepare around that issue, we will then deal with that amendment, proposal, it's not amendment, it's a proposal, from the NCOP on the DNA bill. The issue, members, if I can just enlighten you, those who might not know, but I mean all parties have representatives in that committee. The issue is that the Human Rights Commission went to the NCOP and said that they don't want to be part of the advisory board of the minister. They say it's a conflict of interest. And the NCOP has agreed to that proposal. And that's why I say it's a minor change. There's most probably merit in what the Human Rights Commission is saying, and we must just discuss whether we substitute the representation of the Human Rights Commission with a human rights specialist or a specialist in the field of human rights or a human rights advocate or whatever the case may be. That's what we need to consider. And whether we just want to lessen the number of representatives on the advisory board, although I believe that might create an imbalance. So members can also have discussions with the in their respective parties with their counterparts on the committee so that you can get an understanding of their argument so that we can deal with it on Thursday morning. Wednesday morning. That concludes
Human rights thing on the DNB.
Now they're also proposing, I just forgot about that, but they're also proposing that correctional services be on there. Now we must discuss that because correctional services members will remember were not anxious to be on this board and talked about the fact that they don't have capacity, etc. Plus correctional services involvement in the DNA is in the transitional period. Thereafter there's no involvement for correctional services. So we must just consider whether we want the correctional services to be on the advisory board or not. That's a decision we've got to take. And what we are doing with the Human Rights Commission. Those are the only changes that they're proposing. Members, that brings us to the end of this legislation. There is a matter outstanding that I've asked for information yesterday. We haven't adopted the CRB annual report yet, so I would like to know the question that we asked yesterday about the communications officer. Have you got an answer for us?
Madam Chair, I spoke to the director last night and he mentioned to me that he had sent the request to fly over to the chairperson and he hasn't received any reply from the chairperson. As well as the issue of the communication deputy director.
What's the issue? What's the communications?
Yes, I spoke to him on those two issues.
Tell me,
in our program, when are we anticipating to debate this bill in Parliament?
That I don't know. It depends on the programming committee. But if we adopt on Tuesday, it will still be in this term that we will debate it in Parliament.
Yeah. I'm asking this, Chairperson, because I've just heard that the House may be prolonged on the 12th. On the 12th. Therefore, that is why I wanted to get a feeling of we'll be on the 12th or before that, something like that, so that the chairperson may brief us on Tuesday, so that we'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Members, in terms of when the bill will be debated, that will be determined by the programming committee, and that we will adopt on Tuesday. Then we will send the report to the House, it will get published, and there's a 3-day period that must be adhered to before we can adopt it, before we can debate it. So it won't be next week, that I can almost assure you. It won't be next week that we will be debating it. It most probably will be the week thereafter that we will be debating this bill. The issue of the question of yesterday is simple and important. We have not adopted the annual report of this committee on CERA. So it's a straightforward question that I do not understand the unwillingness of the director who is responsible for that staff to give us the answer. I honestly don't understand it. And I'm making it quite clear, Babelwe, you're going to write the director a letter today, and you will instruct the director that the committee instructs him to be present on Tuesday when we adopt this bill in the committee, and to prepare to come with the answer in terms of the remuneration of the communication section within CERA. Number of posts, the names of the individuals who are filling those posts, the salaries of those individuals. That information we need for our annual report. And when people are unwilling to answer questions, I start getting suspicious. Honourable George?
I heard the communications director saying the director cannot give the answer because he's waiting from the chairperson. Now my question is, who is supposed to give us this answer? Is it the chairperson or the executive director?
The council is the accounting officer. The point is that Parliament can call any person to come and account to it. We have directed this question to the director. There is no reason for the director to say to us, which he is effectively doing, I will first check with the chairperson of council whether I can give you this answer or not. That is absolute nonsense. I almost used a stronger word now. And I'm making it quite clear. You can tell him that he will receive the letter, that he will be present on Tuesday when the committee adopts this legislation. And he will come prepared in order for us to deal with this issue as well. Members, we are also going to distribute, we'll email the report to you because I know members are leaving tomorrow. We will email you the report, or the annual report from the committee. Remember, we don't have to do a BRR report for CERA, but we do have an annual report on CERA. We will email that to members by Friday. Please go through it, so that we, in addition to adopting this legislation on Tuesday, can also go through that report and adopt that report so that it can go to Parliament as well. I do not take kindly to the disregard and disrespect of this committee. I'm not fighting with you because you're the wrong person. Unfortunately, you are the messenger that we will definitely write as well.
Listening to the frustrations of the committee, maybe we should upfront send a message to the director and the related staff around that person that this institution has got the power to bring him to appear here under cuff. If sometimes you don't know, you have got the right through the speaker to go and, cuff a person and put him here and answer questions that we need the questions to. And I'm sure it's stipulated in the Constitution that whether whatever your status in the Republic, as long as we believe you have got information that has got a bearing in the work of Parliament, you are entitled to appear before the Committee of Parliament.
Absolutely 100% correct, and I will ask Babelwe when she drafts the letter to the director to indicate to the director that if he's not here, we will summon him to come and appear before Parliament on this issue. Members, this issue for me is of serious concern because when we ask this question about the researcher for CERA, we were also told that we don't have the information with us currently. Subsequently, we got it in a written response. I don't know whether members have looked at those responses. But that person is earning more than R1 million a year. And for the past 2 years, that person has been identifying a research topic. person, you remember, you weren't there. Mr. George, you were there. We asked for what is the researcher earning. There are two researchers appointed. A senior researcher and a researcher. When we asked the question at the annual report hearings, we were told that we don't have the information available. We then also said to them, go and phone, and subsequently, no, can't get the information. So they answered in writing. It then became obvious that this person, who for the past year, because that person previous year was a consultant for CIRA, for the past year have been identifying a research project. In other words, just coming up with the title of the research. Not doing any research for a whole year, just identifying the title of the research. And that person's salary was more than R1 million a year. 1,065,000 rand a year. The researcher is at 259,000. And that's why it's important that we, but we are also told, Mr. Ndlovu, in that same meeting, that we can't fill critical posts because we don't have money. Yet we appoint a researcher at more than R1 million a year who's doing nothing. I'm sorry, this is just not on. Simply not on.
Actually, see, the attitude of Sira in Bishop Lewis was horrible, very horrible, especially the chairperson and the director. But we left and we warned them. But we even said we're going to report. But they still continued. You see, this reminds me of their predecessors. They were behaving exactly the same. Babu Chayed and his rod. They were behaving exactly the same. My question is, when are we going to put a stop to this thing?
I think when we pass this legislation, that's part of putting a stop to it, is when we pass this legislation. Can I just indicate to members that I have written to Minister about the researchers on behalf of the committee? I've written to Minister and I've asked for explanation by the end of this week. I've asked for an explanation on this. Because I'm not sure that Minister is aware of this appointment. And that's why we've tightened up the legislation as well. Because appointments were made left, right and centre without going through the necessary authorities. Because the Act was silent on it. It allows for that. So we've tightened up those loopholes. Mr. Ntuli, I'm apologise for doing this to you. And I realise that I'm also wrong to say to the official to report to the director, you are a member of council. Can I please ask you, apart from the letter that will be sent by us, and if I can get it still today, I'll sign it today, to the director that you also relay our dismay to the director in regarding this matter. Can I close the meeting? Members, I want to thank, first of all, the technical team. And I think, specifically, Commissioner Jacobs, I'm less sympathy with the Secretariat and the Secretariat staff, because it's their job to be involved in legislation. But for the fact that this committee, when we said we want a technical team appointed, we also requested specifically that Commissioner Jacobs be involved in the process. For the time that he took out to help us with this legislation and to be drafting with the technical team, to the Secretariat and the staff from the Secretariat, thank you very much, Dawn, Mr. Sermon, for your contributions, Secretary of Police, and to the officials from State Security, from the State Law Advisors' offices, thank you very much for your presence and input as well. And then to CIRA's officials who were here as well, thank you very much. I repeat what I said earlier this week, yesterday, when I expressed my discomfort with the fact that the director is not here. It's unfortunate that we found ourselves in a position where we had to sit for hours on end to deal with legislation that if the correct process was followed in the beginning, and the consultation was done in the beginning, last year November when it came to us, by CIRA, which they claimed they did, and which afterwards showed they didn't do it, we would not have been in this position. And that in itself makes it for me totally and utterly unacceptable that the director of CIRA can believe that it's okay for him not to be here, while the Secretary of Police, which is a more senior position, far more senior position than the director of CIRA, has got to spend time here, while a commissioner from South African Police has got to spend time here to clean up what is ultimately a mess created by CIRA themselves. Mr. Ntuli, also to you as the one council member who were here with us throughout, thank you very much for being here. Thanks for your contributions as well. We appreciate that. I'm not going to apologize for the fact that you've got to hear all these bad things. It's maybe good that you do hear them, because then you can relay them and you can't be taken on for just relaying what the committee sentiments are. But thank you for your contribution and for being here as well. Committee researchers, content advisor and the secretary, thank you very much. And then most of all, members to yourselves. It has been a very, very long year, and we still have a lot of work to do, and we just came out of annual report hearings, which is tiring and which is time-consuming, and this committee sat literally for 8 days non-stop and for 7 in the evening and immediately started with legislation after that. I appreciate the commitment of members, the contribution of members, the positive way in which members contribute, and putting aside what might be political differences and drafting and helping in crafting legislation that is to the benefit of the country and the security of the country. I thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.